From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, $20 a gallon for gasoline? Can't happen, right? Well, our guest Christopher Steiner says it could. Stand by for that one. Some concern in Southern California. Scientists are warning that California could be struck by a winter superstorm. A group of more than 100 scientists and experts say that in a new report, California faces the risk of a massive superstorm that could flood a quarter of the state's homes and cause, get this, $300 to $400 billion in damage. Researchers point out that the potential scale of destruction in this storm scenario is 4 to 5 times the amount of damage that could be wrought by a major earthquake. The scientists with the U.S. Geological Survey are warning federal and state emergency officials that California's history shows such superstorms have happened in the past and should be added to the very long list of natural disasters to worry about in the Golden State. They say the risk is getting greater. A former Swiss banker has supplied documents to WikiLeaks that he alleges attempts by wealthy business leaders and lawmakers to evade tax payments. Rudolf Elmer, an ex-employee of a Swiss-based bank called Julius Baer, said there were 2,000 account holders named in the documents, but he refused to give details of the companies or individuals involved. He has previously offered files to WikiLeaks on financial activities in the Cayman Islands and faces a court hearing in Zurich to answer charges of coercion and violating Switzerland's strict banking secrecy laws. Wisconsin, one of two states in the nation that prohibits citizens from carrying a concealed weapon, is now expected to reverse this law during the upcoming state legislative session. Only Illinois and Wisconsin forbid carrying concealed weapons. One of the biggest obstacles to a potential space mission is finding almost $150 billion needed to develop the program, but Ron Joseph has proposed in the latest issue of Journal of Cosmology, with clever marketing, he says, and advertising and the subsequent increase in public interest, between $30 and $90 billion can be raised, he says, through corporate sponsorships and an additional $1 billion a year through individual sponsorships. So the rockets that would launch would have logos on them, I kid you not, just as Tang became associated in the public's eye with space travel in the 70s and 80s, Joseph suggests that selling the naming rights to the Mars landing craft, the Mars colony, the spaceship itself, and more, he said television broadcasting rights alone would bring in $30 billion. And that doesn't include the sale of real estate and mineral rights, he says, on Mars. Well, space historian Robert Zimmerman on with us. Robert, is this practical? Would they really do that?
George, not only is it practical, it's been done before repeatedly in distant history as well as recently. I mean, the Northwest Passage was explored partly by ship captains whose whole expedition was paid for, in one case, by a beer brewery. Boothia Peninsula is named after that brewery. Meanwhile, the Russians, after the fall of the Soviet Union, they put logos on all their rockets to make some money. It's capitalism. Make money. Why not? And we do it in stadiums. Why not do it in space as well? Think of the prestige.
There goes the Bud Light bullet rocket.
Well, you know, in the 60s, one of the reasons a lot of American companies were building space, helping with the space program, was for the same exact reason. They saw this as great public relations for their companies. If they could say, we built the Apollo capsule or we built the lunar lander, this makes our company look good. And I think that's the kind of thing that American companies need to do.
I mean, would we have, for example, instead of NASA logos on astronaut space suits, we'll have things like Nike and things like that?
Why not?
Oh,
I mean, what do you call it? NASCAR.
Do it. It's all over the place.
Yeah, no one objects, and it's how they finance building very sophisticated vehicles. The fact is that the American space program, strangely enough, under NASA, is very hostile to commercial profit like this, and that has to change, and hopefully that is changing. Right now, it's much easier to do this kind of thing with the Russians because they understand the need for profit to pay for their program, and we need the money to pay for our program. Why not let NASA sell seats, to tourists? Why not? In fact, one of the proposals to replace the shuttle by a company, Orbital Sciences, they have said, we'll build you a crew capsule, but we want to reserve seats on it so we can sell them to tourists. And they're insisting on that.
Well, they're doing it at the stadiums. Why don't they change the name from Cape Canaveral to something like, you know, the Verizon Bowl or something, and they can do that too, right?
They could, but you know what? It's a question of dollars, and we got to get them to pay the bucks. But I think this is actually not a ludicrous idea at all. I think it's a good way for companies, especially the small startup companies, to try to build some funds so that they can proceed. I think that's really where this is going to be. NASA. In the end, they're going to become irrelevant. The real issue is whether private companies can maybe take advantage of this idea to raise funds so they can develop new spacecraft.
Well, you know, they can always market this. And I see this then, Robert, after talking to you, as a very distinct possibility. I could see this now. Logos on astronaut suits, logos on the spacecraft, renaming Cape Canaveral. It's probably going to happen. Older adults on blood pressure drugs known as calcium channel blockers could suffer dangerous drops in blood pressure if they are given certain antibiotics, according to another study. Researchers found that patients on what is called calcium channel blockers who were given the antibiotics, brands like Emicin or Vioxin, were at increased risk of being hospitalized for dangerously low blood pressure. A third antibiotic in the same class, the Z-Pak that you've heard about, was not linked to the risk, and researchers say it should be chosen over the other two antibiotics for people on calcium channel blockers. Remember that. Talk to your doctor about that. The nation observed the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday on Monday, with thousands volunteering for service projects and more reflecting on his lessons of nonviolence and civility in the week following the shootings in Arizona. Six people were killed in Tucson, and Democratic Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is fighting for her life. The violent outburst was a reminder to many gathered at King's former church in Atlanta that the Baptist preacher's message remained relevant nearly four decades after his own untimely death at the hands of an assassin.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream.
Well, Attorney General Eric Holder praised the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. as our nation's greatest drum major of peace and said that the January 8th bloodshed was a call to recommit to King's values of nonviolence, tolerance, compassion, and justice. Apple founder and CEO Steve Jobs, a cancer survivor, sent a note to employees saying he's taking a medical leave of absence so he can focus on his health. This is the third time now in 10 years that the 55-year-old Jobs, who has had pancreatic cancer and underwent a liver transplant while on leave just a few years ago, has stepped back from his position in Apple. The French health minister has promised a complete revamp of the country's medical regulatory system. He was speaking after an official report said a diabetes drug, which caused up to 2,000 deaths, should have been banned 10 years ago. The drug, known as Mediator, should have been banned, he said, as early as 1999, when it began to emerge that it could cause heart disease. Several other European countries and the United States then withdrew it. A French nun says that she felt new inner strength and vitality as her Parkinson's disease suddenly disappeared in 2005, a recovery the Vatican attributes to the miraculous interceding of then-Pope John Paul II. Sister Marie Simon-Pierre, who works at a Paris maternity clinic, told reporters that she felt reborn on waking June 3, 2005, after she had prayed for healing to John Paul. She said, there was a new strength inside me. My body was rediscovering its vitality. She now appears in good health. Pope Benedict has set May 1st as the date for his predecessor's beatification, a step toward possible sainthood. In a moment, tapping the source. How can you tap the source and change your life? William Gladstone joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. This hour, tapping the source. Author William Gladstone has earned degrees from the University of Salamanca, that's in Spain, Yale College, and Harvard University. He is the author, along with Richard Greninger and John Shelby, of Tapping the Source, Using the Master Key System for Your Abundance and Happiness. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. William, how are you?
I'm fantastic, George, and thank you so much for having me back on your show.
Likewise. I find this to be fascinating. Like The Secret and others like that, this is an interesting facet of people being able to make themselves happier. And it utilizes something that had gone on, 1912 or so, this was first published as the Master Key?
Published as Charles Fennell's Master Key System in 1912 when he was a businessman in St. Louis. And he put together a mail order version of this that Napoleon Hill got hold of, and Napoleon Hill credits Think and Grow Rich to the ideas of Charles Fennell and the ideas that are now in Tapping the Source. What we did is we took this 100-year-old mail order system that had 24 lessons, and we boiled it down to 7 lessons and made it into a really short, fun, easy-to-read book that can actually help people start manifesting not just material abundance, but psychological happiness and good health.
He was a very successful businessman. I've heard of him in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And he just was able to, you know, give pointers that worked for people.
It's truly amazing. I didn't know who he was until about a year ago when Richard Greninger pointed him out to me. And Charles Fennell started life in a frying pan factory. He was a working teenager. He worked diligently. By the time he was in his 30s, he was considered one of the pillars of St. Louis society. And he didn't write, like a lot of the people who have come since, a book just to make money. He actually had already made vast fortune using the very specific techniques in his original Master Key system, which are now in Tapping the Source. Some of these ideas have become popular in books like The Secret, as the law of attraction, the law of vibration. But you really need to go back to Charles Fennell's original Master Key system to understand what these principles really are and how to actually utilize them in your everyday life.
And have you used them for yourself, William?
Absolutely. I have to say, I'm really probably one of the happiest human beings I've ever met. I've manifested a lot of money, but most of the money that I've created has been because I've always had the focus that Charles Fennell had, which was to be of service to other people. Help other people, and you are going to draw positive energy to yourself. And it's not a tit for tat. Sometimes I'll help somebody, and years will go by, and I'll never receive any direct benefit, but I'll receive benefit from some other activity that I had never anticipated creating wealth for myself. So it is a little bit of what goes around comes around. There's some truth to that. But I have to say that we were so inspired that once we wrote the book, we went out and we produced a movie called Tapping the Source, because I wanted to check if the principles of Charles Fennell could work for other people in other fields in other parts of the world. And I found out that they are working. We have people ranging from Meryl Hemingway and Kathy Lee Crosby and Monique Coleman, actresses, to the founder of Remax, to one of the wealthiest women in the Middle East. We have Eastern Indian gurus, we have famous artists, musicians, and all of them are actually using techniques that are somewhat similar to what we describe in the book Tapping the Source.
And at the same time, financial success isn't just the key to happiness. This allows people to be happy whether they make money or not, right?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that Charles Fennell talks about is you do have to have enough material well-being to take care of yourself. It's like what they tell you on the airplane. If you have small children and something's going down with the plane, get the oxygen to yourself first. Well, it's the same thing in life. You obviously need to have a nice home and you need to be able to pay your own bills before you start worrying about taking care of everyone around you. But the greatest happiness from some of the wealthiest people on this planet has nothing to do with how much money they have. And some of them have had to spend a lot of time and heartache to learn this. The two things we found in making our movie Tapping the Source was that service to others and a sense of gratitude were actually the two most important elements among all these people in determining how happy they were.
Well, look at the case of Steve Jobs today, CEO of Apple. I mean, Here's a guy who's probably got more money than God. And
he does.
I would guess he would give it all up to get back to his 100% health.
I'm absolutely certain he would. I'm certain he would, and I hope that he does regain his full health. He's one of the most interesting people. I've actually had the good fortune to meet Steve, and he is a character. And
a nice guy, William.
Yes. And he does have good intention. And when he started his company, it wasn't all about money. He really had a dream of putting a computer on every desk and changing what he felt was a very bureaucratic corporate world into something where individuals had greater freedom. And it's worked. And that's one of the reasons I think Apple has gone on to be so successful.
Give us some highlights of the tapping the source, the master key system, that people would utilize in order to change their life.
Okay, well, we have, through the efforts of John Selby, who was an expert on meditation, which is why we hired him. He has degrees from Princeton and has actually taught stress reduction. Because the very first step is you have to learn to focus within. The very first focus phrase, and there's only seven in the book, is to focus joyfully within. And that's really the very beginning. If you can do that, you're halfway home. You have to realize that you actually do co-create your reality. And if you are able to stop all the noise around you, all the things that the news is always telling you, if you allow those things to dictate the way your mind is going to work, you're never going to be able to focus and create your own abundance. So the very first step is to focus enjoyably within. Once you do that, then we have the other six phrases, and really, you can master them in about an hour and utilize them 5 minutes a day, and you'll start seeing results.
What is it, this tapping of the source, that allows this to change for an individual?
Well, according to Charles Hanel, tapping the source is aligning yourself with universal mind. Tapping the source is accessing what the quantum physicists are calling today the energy source, the zero point, in which all energy coexists. We now know scientifically that this is real, and it is actually possible to tap into what some people would call their intuition. And once you do that and start lining your own desires up with the true desires of the world itself, you start creating resonance. And once you start creating resonance, things start falling into place for you. Instead of always finding yourself in a struggle with others or with yourself, you start finding that there is less resistance because you have put yourself in the right place at the right time. And you can do this. Anyone can do this.
How did Hanel, almost 100 years ago, tap into this? How did he know this?
Well, I can't have any specifics since I wasn't around 100 years ago, but Charles Hanel read every book he could get his hand on, including the great books about, you know, Jesus and how Jesus manifested, but also the books on how the Eastern cultures manifested, including, I believe, some books on how indigenous cultures manifested. I, in my studies at Harvard University, studied a lot of different cultures. And the reality is when we made our movie Tapping the Source, I didn't limit our focus just to contemporary leaders. I went back and I interviewed shaman from a 700-year-old Mayan tradition. And I interviewed gurus from India from 1,000-year-old traditions. And the reality is the manifestation principles have been here from the beginning of time in our ancient cultures. We have just gotten away from what works. And it's really very, very simple.
Tell me about the law of attraction, William.
Okay, well, the law of attraction is the most famous of all the laws, thanks, I think, to The Secret.
Yeah.
What the law of attraction is that you will attract the same energy that you put out. So if you're putting out positive energy, if you're sincerely interested in making the world a better place, helping other people, helping your environment, you're going to draw positive energy to you. Now, some people, when they read The Secret, thought, oh, the law of attraction is I'm going to think about this Ferrari I want, and if I just think enough about the Ferrari and I have thoughts of Ferrari, I'm going to draw the Ferrari to me. Well, that's an oversimplification, and that did not work, and you have a lot of people out there who were frustrated and probably never went beyond page two of The Secret. With Tapping the Source, we're not pretending this is you're going to snap your fingers and anything you put your heart desire on, you will get. But we will teach you a very easy method that actually can start making a positive physiological difference in your heart rate and in your breathing within minutes. And that alone is going to be positive for your health. And the rest of it, yes, it's like anything else. If you want to make money in real estate, you've got to go out and study your market. You've got to study how real estate works. If you want to make money in another field that you've chosen, you do have to do the work. You can't. One of the things we say in the movie is, quoting Charles Hanel, abundance will not come to you out of the sky. You have to do the work. But part of doing the work is preparing yourself physically and mentally and emotionally first.
Oh, that's a good point. And the greed factor could screw all that up, couldn't it?
Absolutely. If you are greedy, and really we have what we call our little ego and our higher ego. If And it's okay. Our little egos are fun, and that's what, you know, we have fun with. And there's nothing wrong with having a good little ego. I have one. You have one. We wouldn't be successful. But hopefully we also have higher egos that can tell the difference between when we're doing something just for our own immediate short-term gratification and something that really is going to give us greater long-term satisfaction on every level. And it is, in fact, when you are helping your children, when you are helping those you love.
And when you're helping everybody, then that's so important. William, we're going to come back with some phone calls. Perhaps you can share your law of attraction stories with us. $20 a gallon for gasoline, unheard of? Well, maybe not. We'll talk about that next hour. And when we come back, we'll take phone calls with William Gladstone as we talk about tapping the source on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, why don't you share your law of attraction story with us? How have you given it out in the universe, and how has it come back to you? Our guest this hour, William Gladstone, tapping the source.
Well, George, one of the most amazing things was actually the creation of the film itself. I didn't actually set out to make the film. I was kind of tricked into it by someone who was going to finance it, and then they disappeared. And I had already started doing some of these great interviews. And one interview, the positive energy of each interview, just drew in the positive energy of the others, almost to the point that it started to be almost miraculous. We were in Kauai at a 4th of July celebration of Pierce Bronson's, and I saw this incredible fire dancer who had the most captivating smile. Of course, I didn't want to interrupt the festivities or make myself annoying to the event, but the very following day, I was doing an interview with Will Lydgate, who grows chocolate. We wanted to show the importance of chocolate, tapping the source. And I'm ending the interview with Will, and I said, you know, I was at this incredible fire dance event. He says, oh, what's the name of the person? I said, well, I don't know her name, but she had this incredible smile. And I described her, and he said, well, that's my girlfriend. You want to interview her for the movie? I'll have her over here tomorrow.
That's funny.
And this is just one small example, but even in our own making of this film, things like that started happening. We would go, and as you know, when you're interviewing people, they normally barely have time to be in the interview. We had people like Ariel Ford afterwards say, oh, you have to stay for dinner. And I know this editor who you've got to interview. And then we would interview someone else, and they'd say, oh, you have to have this person in your film. And that person would call someone else. It ended up Bob Proctor, who is the star of The Secret, flew in to be interviewed for our film, even though I had said, well, it's too late. We're going into the edit room next week. He says, I'll fly down tomorrow. And that law of attraction was really working for us because we did not set out this film with this idea that we wanted to make millions and millions of dollars. We really got into wanting to share the brilliance of these incredible people like Jack Canfield and Michael Beckwith. And the more sincere we were in just wanting to help them get their message out, the more the universe supported our project. And I believe this principle of the law of attraction is operating all the time, and it's just a matter that each individual needs to wake up and start seeing what they're meant to be doing.
How many people put this block up, though, William, and they just can't get beyond?
I'll tell you, I think that it's literally hundreds of millions of people put up the block. Part of it is the way our educational system unteaches creativity. We're taught to be followers, not leaders. And this is a real problem. We need to have a balance. Obviously, we can't have chaos. We have to learn to follow rules. We have to listen to our teachers. But I think that our educational system is really shortchanging the majority of human beings today because it's not encouraging them to go within and to create their own solutions. And if you look at the world situation today, following the tried and true is no longer working. The human species will be extinct if we don't change the way that we're resolving our problems. Einstein said the definition of insanity was to use the same techniques and expect different results. How long do we have to keep doing the insane things that we've been doing as a human species before we're going to wake up and start making a difference?
Do you have to be particularly religious, William, in order to accomplish any of this?
Not at all. I have to say, I am not a religious person. As an anthropologist, I've studied all the world religions, and I respect the people who have a religious belief. But you don't need to have a religious belief. Science is science. Laws are laws. The law of attraction is found in some form in almost every major religion. They call it something else. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, etc. But you don't need to believe that. You need to understand and try it and see that it works. And that is the proof in the pudding of why these principles actually are going to make a difference, not because you believe in them.
All right.
You can believe in inertia and be inert, but you can also believe in the law of motion and get into motion.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Adam, in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Adam. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. Norrie. How you doing, Mr.
Good.
William?
Thank you.
The reason I am calling is, first of all, is this the William that is ahead of the Black Project who brought all the politicians together who had evidence of the space aliens being?
No, actually, I'm not. I was the producer, actually, of the Phoenix Lights, you may be thinking of, but I think you have me confused with a different William Gladstone.
Yes,
I do have a background.
My apologies. Basically, real quick, I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time. First of all, hi to my dad. He's listening in Springfield, Missouri as well. Basically, what I'm asking both of you gentlemen, as a Christian who studies the Bible, not just more than a regular Christian, really gets into it, especially like the books of Ezekiel and stuff like that. Like, both of you, do you believe in reincarnation, basically the production of man by extraterrestrials, the ancient astronaut theory, or creation, or the Big Bang theory? Who created the Big Bang?
Now you're throwing a lot at us, Adam.
I mean, I have to say, I have a little bit of knowledge of almost all that. I also worked for Rod Serling on In Search of Ancient Mystery, so I actually firsthand studied the evidence for extraterrestrial as having interacted with human beings, and I do believe that that has some factual basis. At the same time, as a scientist who went to Harvard and has studied the Big Bang Theory, I think that there's a lot of truth to the Big Bang Theory also. I don't think there's an easy answer to your question. I think that you have to look at all of the evidence, and obviously something is happening in the universe right now. I'm also the author of the novel The 12, which talks about the Mayan belief that 2012 is a date of significance in which there'll be a change energetically in the consciousness of humanity, which is a theory that is actually also reflected among the Hopi, the Tibetan, the Hawaiians, and many other indigenous cultures. So I think that you really need to start exploring beyond just your own religious doctrine to get the answers that you're seeking.
Well, you know what? And this 2012 episode is going to come up soon enough, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Things are changing, and it's very subtle. And I know a lot of people are frustrated because they want, you know, something really obvious like in that movie. And unfortunately, it's not going to be that obvious, but it is, based on the studies that I've done, something very real.
Okay, we've got Nancy in Billings, Montana, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hello, George. Want to say, first of all, I love you. I've spent many a sleepless night with you.
And many more, Nancy.
Many more. And, William, I actually met you last year, purchased your novel, 12. Is that the same William Gladstone?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much. I love my novel.
How many William Gladstones are out there, huh?
I met him at an author event, and he was a very gracious man. And so it just is a thrill to be able to talk to you tonight. I actually just have a question. My book is going to be out here in February, and I've been working really, really hard to build publicity and develop a following, all those things you need to do. It just seems like it's a lot of work, which of course it is, but it just doesn't seem like it's flowing quite like it needs to. And my question for you is, how do I tap onto that easy button?
Well, it's the most difficult time for authors in the history of book publishing in terms of selling books in bookstores. Borders is facing difficulties. Barnes & Noble is facing difficulties. But the good news is, with ebooks and the internet, you can reach your audience. And you need to focus as much as you possibly can on getting a blog going and getting YouTube videos going and getting your Facebook going and your Twitter account going and really focusing on the internet to get message about your book out.
And just market. You really do. And then it comes back. You got to tap into it. It's like tapping into the source.
It's the law of attraction. It's not going to be tit for tat. So many people get frustrated. They, well, I tried for a day, or I tried for a week, or I tried for a month. It's maybe 6 months. You've got to just keep doing and doing and sending out the positive energy and knowing that even if you only reach initially one or two people a day, you're going to change those people's lives, and that's going to accumulate and send the word to more people and more people, and you'll have a positive experience.
William, I talked a few weeks ago. I've been actually talking about this for a year now, how people have been acting strange, just uptight. Have you noticed that, and is there a reason for that?
I have noticed that. I think there's a lot of reasons. I think that part of it does, in fact, have to do with this 2012 phenomena. Actually, some people believe that on December 21st, 2010, the alignment of the planets was such that you really had the beginning of this window of transition already initiated a month ago. There's definitely something in the air. People, both highs and lows, are experiencing faster change than at any time in my lifetime.
Next up, we go to Scott in Evergreen Park, Illinois. Hi, Scott. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hello, William. Happy New Year.
You too.
Happy New Year.
I've been a StreamLink member, George, for 2 years now, and I'm very glad that I got in tonight. I can tell that William's attitude kind of lines up with his last name, Gladstone. Sounds like a very happy individual.
He is, for sure.
Well, I was very blessed to be given the name because I've lived that name, and it helps remind me. It's true. We are all meant to be joyful, not just Gladstone, but whatever your name is. The true nature of existence is joy.
Amen. Well, William, I have a difficult question to ask you, and I wish no one ill will. And I just wondered if anybody has ever discussed with you the principles, the reason the principles work, whether it's your current book or the book that Napoleon Hill has written, Thinking Rich, that those principles, basically taken from the Hebrew and Greek scriptures. For example, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And you talk about the positive energy and having good thoughts and aligning yourself with a power source. That's right from the scriptures that talks about, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I'll make it really just brief. There's two sources of power that people can tap into. One is the power source that comes from light, and the other is the power source that comes from darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if anybody has ever challenged you in love, but in a way to say that the power and success that you're deriving is flowing from the kingdom of darkness. And I wondered, I'd be interested in your comments on that.
Well, I appreciate your question. I don't find it offensive at all. And in fact, if you go back even before the Greeks and the Hebrews, you will find in the Essene documents, and this is in our film, Tapping the Source, word for tapping the source and the source 5,000 years ago. And we are not saying that Charles Snell came up and invented these concepts. He was the first one to put them into a form that the modern American could understand. But you're absolutely right. These principles are very ancient. They go all the way back to the beginning. My own estimation is that the power that is manifesting through the light ultimately is stronger than the power that is manifesting through the dark. I know it's often very hard to share that when we see the kinds of things that happened in Tucson a week ago and some of the other tragedies throughout the world. But I know that the principles themselves are not designed to be used for evil. The fact that people can take a piece of technology that is wonderful and use it for evil is something that human beings do, but that does not make the technology or the principles evil. And it is the same with the law of attraction and these other laws.
What happens to those, William, who do tap into the evil for their own purposes?
Ultimately, they're going to suffer. I mean, they may not suffer in a way that we can observe immediately, but if you actually do an analysis of where true joy comes from, it does not come from the momentary control of others or the momentary enjoyment of wealth of a material nature only. True abundance, true happiness comes on every level. So it has to be reflected in your health, in your emotions, in your relationships with others. So we should be focused less on concern about how someone may temporarily use some of these powers for evil than just being as good as we as individuals can be every moment in our lives. And eventually, the good will outperform the evil.
It should. It should. Let's go to Galveston.
Based on the laws of the universe, it should.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Lynette, you're up with us.
Yes, good evening. William, fascinating. 2 points. First, I was wondering if you saw that video that the Arizona shooter was making at the college.
I have not seen that video yet, no.
You are going to be surprised because what you're saying is exactly as what he is saying in the video about the sheep-like mentality being taught in the educational systems. Also, and I'll make this real quick, it is a proven fact, and by statistics and testing, that private educational systems create the leadership mentality, whereas public educational systems create that idolization, memorization, and actually creating, the people to be led by those leaders, in the private educational sense. So I'll just hang up and listen, and thank you very much.
Hmm.
Interesting comment. You can't blame the educational system alone when you have something as horrific as what happened in Tucson. There are individuals who, for whatever reason, just lose it and are, drawn to activities that are...
Well, they've tapped into the dark side.
Yeah, they're exactly. And they're instruments of evil. And that is something that we have to learn better ways to spot. I actually wrote a book 40 years ago, How to Test Your Own Mental Health, because I actually had in my own family someone who was schizophrenic, and we did find a way to help that person. But there are mental illnesses, there are tragic situations, and, we need to all work together whenever we can in however many ways we can to prevent these kinds of tragedies.
William, as people begin to practice these techniques on a daily basis, and as you said, it doesn't take a lot of time, but do you think it is necessary to do it every day or maybe once a week?
No, I think every day, actually. I'd rather have 30 seconds a day than 10 hours, once a month in a weekend. I think that it's a matter of habit and practice. It's like anything. If you think about exercise, you can, with exercise, it's a little bit different. You can, skip a day in between. But particularly, this is so brief, and it's training your mind. It's training yourself to focus. It's training yourself to be in gratitude. These are things that you need to do every single day, and it doesn't take a long bit of time. It's something you can do when you first wake up. It's something you can do when you're commuting. It's something you can do right before going to bed. I know people are busy. I mean, we raising children. We're working at jobs. We have family obligations. But I'm talking about, take 2 hours, read the book Tapping the Source, and then take 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes a day, not much more than you spend brushing your teeth and shaving.
Should see results pretty quickly, too, huh?
Absolutely. You should. You will see some subtle results if you pay attention within days, and I think you'll start seeing some major results within a month.
TappingDaily.com, William's website's linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com right now. DVD, same name as the book, Tapping the Source. It's pretty good to... Pretty good, by the way. I've seen the video, and some great techniques there for you if you think you need that help, which all of us do at one time or another. Up next, gasoline at $20 a gallon? Let's find out.